The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What's it like to be a player in the NFL right now? We have all had our lives put on pause. We've had all our lives forced to adjust to a new reality. How do you adjust to getting ready for an NFL season? Let's ask a current player. Let's ask a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Let's ask one of Tom Brady's new teammates. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And joining us now is Tampa Bay Buccaneer linebacker. And I don't know if this is a source of pride or shame, but the brother of Emmanuel Acho, a often appearing character here on the Will Cain Show. It's Sam Acho on our phone lines. What's up, Sam?
Hey, what's up, Will? And it's definitely a 100% sense of pride. I feel like if both he and I were on this show, we would take you down in a heartbeat. Not physically, verbally, mentally, emotionally, all of it.
Well, I appreciate you acknowledging you need your brother to come into this fight. You can't do it yourself.
That's the homie, man. He actually sent me some clips of some of y'all's previous episodes. And I think the sentiment he shared a few, however many weeks or months ago, he's like, yeah, that Will Cain guy, I don't know about him. You know, I think I might be in that same boat. Obviously, he's split. No, I'm kidding, man. I'm glad to be here, Will. How are you?
No, it's okay if you think that. I own my reputation and stand by who I actually am as an individual. Sam, it's good to meet you, man. Hook'em, glad to know you. And so before we get into football and perhaps your team and your quarterback and what it's like to train right now, you tell me how far off base I am, okay? Emmanuel is the guy who might change his hobby every 6 months. He's super into something, move on. Sam is the even-keeled guy who's like, are you sure we want to do this? Sam is the constant. Emmanuel comes and goes. Like, I don't know. Am I going to catch you sleeveless playing a piano, singing some ballad into social media? I just doubt it.
But he's constant in that, right? I mean, you look at Emmanuel's social media, it's constantly the abs out, constantly sleeves up, right? Constantly no shirt, playing music, right? So you're going to get a consistent version. It just may not be what everybody's expecting.
Sam Acho here on the Will Cain Show, brother of Emmanuel Acho and obviously Tampa Bay Buccaneer linebacker right now. So how do you do it, man? Listen, OTAs, so far you haven't had to make massive, massive adjustments, I guess. You got OTAs, new teams were supposed to start today, meaning teams with new coaches, right? Like the Cowboys with McCarthy, or the Giants with Judge. You guys already had Bruce Arians, but what are the major adjustments you've had to make right now, not just in your individual training, but as a team?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So, even being on NFLPA, I'm one of the vice presidents, I'm on the executive committee, so we're actually having conversations with ownership about what will training look like. And so there are conversations we're having, honestly, in a couple hours from now about, are we going to do virtual training? Are we going to send guys their iPads? Are we going to send guys workout equipment so they can lift weights? You know, a lot of states right now are on lockdown or on shutdown. So some places, I'm in Arizona right now, you can go outside and go to their backyard and find a field and run. Other places like Chicago or New York, there may not be fields to run on. And so we talk about it being the concrete jungle. And so we're having these conversations of how do we make sure guys are ready during this current social climate that we're in right now. And so personally for me, that decision was leaving Chicago, that was my base for a little bit, and coming out to Arizona where I could get outside and where I could run around. I got some weights that I'm using, ship some weights out, and try to buy some weights online. Apparently, weights are like toilet paper because you can't find them anywhere.
Really?
Apparently, people who love to go to the gym, since gyms are closed, they started going and buying weights and bars and dumbbells. And I've never been that guy. That was probably Emmanuel was that, he'd be the guy who was, he's the guy doing push-ups and sit-ups every day. I'm more like, hey, what do I need to do to train to be great just for this season? And so, they're hard to find. And so I think a lot of guys are doing the best they can, but it's very difficult in this current, social climate.
But what I think is even more challenging, by the way, you're right. It's got to be an awesome business and a flooded business. So let's not pretend like it's not crowded, but online classes. My wife does it. I see her every morning. She's got some new Peloton class or 30-minute workout where she's connecting literally connecting, you know, with classes and instructors and other people. What a booming business right now. But what I'm more fascinated by is when you guys have to start going through scheme, you have to start doing walkthroughs, you have to start doing actual stuff with coaches. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, honestly, that's easy, in my opinion. That's easy.
Really?
So, yeah, usually OTA is what it is. It's 4 hours of work, 2 hours in the classroom, and then 2 hours on the field. Out of those two field hours, one of them may be in the weight room during the first part of OTA. They call it phase one. And the other hour would be out on the field. And so, for me, it's pretty easy. Everybody's using Zoom now or Skype. They have different ways you can video conference, and you get, for lack of better terms, in a virtual room with your coach, and then you go over the scheme. You go over the scheme, you go over the plays, you go over what you'll be doing, and whether it's a new team or even if it's a returning coach, which wouldn't start till for a couple weeks from now. But now the tough part would be getting on the field, but even that is not really as difficult because I think if you are a place you can get outside, you get outside, but if not, you go inside your room. You won't be able to, you know, people don't get it. OTAs and phase one and phase two, you're not running routes against people. You're doing things on air. You're using trash cans to get teams. You can do that via I'm in like a kitchen right now, right? And get some chairs. You know, I can get online with my coach and go over a certain scheme or a certain pass rush game, et cetera. So that part isn't easy. I think the tough part
really
would be
walk through that with me. You said 4 hours. You said OTAs. Give me the day real quick one time.
Phase one of OTAs, right? So the first 2 to 3 weeks, they call it phase one. A majority of that time is classroom time. So 2 hours is in the classroom. You have 1 hour in the weight room, and then you have another hour on the field.
Okay, so the whole day is 4 hours.
Correct. So you might show up at 10. You'll be done by 2 for that day, right? That's per the CBA, 4 hours,
right?
During April, May, and June. Minus, obviously, there's the mini camp days, which are longer, right, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. But just talking about phase one for now, so it's 4 hours. The 2 hours of classroom time can be done via Zoom, via use your computer, use your phone. It doesn't matter. You know, it's easy. The 1 hour of lifting can be done on your own, in my opinion. You can do that on your own. And now the 1 hour on the field work, obviously you're not going to be with other guys, but during phase one, and even sometimes phase two, you're not allowed to do one-on-one drills against your teammates. It's all on air. Everything you do would be like routes on air or formations on air. You're not going against the defense. So obviously I'm not going to be able to, if I'm an old lineman, Will, I'm not going to be able to be right next to, if I'm a center, I can't be right next to my guard or my, you know, be next to my tackle. But if it's something where it's like, hey, I want you to put a defense out in front of you, right? Let's say I'm an old lineman, put a 4 down front, get 4 chairs, right? Like, it's not hard. Visualize what this scheme would be, right? 4 down, 3 linebackers. It's really not that difficult to say, okay, this is how we're going to run this scheme. You'd have to be a little bit creative because you're not going to be right there with your coach or your other teammates. But I think players are smart enough to be able to visualize what their different schemes would look like.
Samuel Acho, Bucks linebacker here on the Will Cain Show. Have you received a text from Tom Brady yet?
I haven't, and I'm honestly a little bit mad. I gotta correct you a little bit. So technically, I'm still a free agent. So I signed with Tampa Bay last year. And I signed with Tampa Bay last year, and I'm pumped about signing back yet. I haven't signed yet, but that's obviously where I want to go back. This, you know, pre-Tom Brady, I wanted to go back to Tampa because of my relationship with Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles, and they even expressed interest in having me back. And so we're, you know, I'm confident it's going to happen sooner than later. But I'm pretty devastated, more than devastated. I'm distraught because I've seen the reports, right? Tom Brady didn't ask for, you know, the control of the offense, didn't ask for control of the roster. He asked for his teammate's number. And that's the thing, like, when he signed, I was under contract right until then. That's how free agency works. You're under contract all the way up until, you know, the day that free agency starts. And so I was like, man, I just stopped being a Tampa Bay Buccaneer when Tom Brady was going to have my number. So, but I'm not worried. I'm not worried. He's a man of integrity. He's a man of his word. So whenever I sign back, we'll be texting. Well, not even texting. We'll be teammates, right? Like, people laugh and joke. It's like, man, your teammates with Tom Brady or Larry Fitzgerald or all these guys who play with Khalil Mack or whatever. But you don't see, like, as players, you don't see these guys as superhuman or superheroes. You see them as your teammates, your boys. You're in the locker room together. You hang out together. So I'm excited whenever that time does come to try and go win a championship with Tom.
Sam, I have to ask you this. I'm fascinated by it. Look, I've got to know your brother pretty well. We talk offline from time to time. I don't know if he told you that, but I like him a lot. I like him a lot, and I respect him even more. And look, I think it's not it's not talking out of school to say we both understand somewhat what it's like to negotiate a contract in this environment. And you are going through that as well, but just on the football side instead of the media side. I look at guys like, you know, Dak Prescott, who's under the franchise tag. He wants to do a long-term deal. Here you are, as you point out, you're a free agent. Does this entire situation, this economy and all that, what does that do to you? Does that make you more worried about how you negotiate your business life, all that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I'll talk CBA first because I was one of the guys who was helping negotiate the CBA. There are some guys who are excited and think it was a great deal. Some guys who think it was a horrible deal. But I think one thing that everybody can point out now is, let's say a deal wasn't done and you were negotiating during this current COVID climate, I think it'd be a lot harder to get a deal done. And so that's kind of neither here nor there, whether you think it was good or bad. That's, you know,
no, but that's a good point. Good thing to get agreed to before. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and not to mention, you know, we talk about, you know, negotiating TV contracts with, I mean, even my brother, right, trying to negotiate his contracts with ESPN. And even I got friends who work, you know, people like you. It's like, hey, this is hard right now. People are struggling. So for me, it hasn't been as difficult. And the reason I say that is because I'm used to it. You know, I've been a free agent for, it's almost like Sue, right? Like some guys, like every year, Darrell Revis back in the day, like he set up his contract where every year he was a free agent. And it was a little bit different scenario because he set it up where they would have to guarantee his money like March 15th, as soon as the new league year started. And it'd be like a huge amount. And so it almost like gave him an option, right? So every year he had this free agent period. So I've had that in a little bit of a different way because I've been on year-to-year contracts. And by the grace of God, I'm going on year 10, but I've been on a lot of year-to-year contracts. So I know what it's like to have a little bit of uncertainty and to be a free agent. Right now, the upside on this year versus last year is last year when I was a free agent, I had come off of an injury. I had torn my pec. People didn't know if I was healthy. And so if this COVID stuff would have happened last year, I would have been done because I can't go anywhere to get a physical. Teams don't know if I'm healthy or not. And so, I mean, I think about Eli Apple where he thought he had a contract. Now he doesn't. I think about Clowney who's trying to get a contract. People are saying, man, is he healthy? Is he not? So many players. Michael Brockers happened with him when he was trying to go to Baltimore and he ended up going back to LA. So many players who have maybe a questionable injury history or haven't been cleared by their new team, there can be a little bit of uncertainty. But for me, I'm not worried at all. Like I'm excited. I said it from the jump. People don't get it, but sometimes relationships and fit matter more than how much money you get. And so for me, like Tampa Bay is a really good fit from the coaching perspective, like coaches I've played with in 2013 and 2014, coaches I trust and believe in, they believe in me. And also from a team perspective, even the culture of the team, it's a super family atmosphere with BA and it's the way he coaches. And I got, you know, wife and three kids. And so anyways, I'm staying patient. Obviously there are times where I'm texting my agent, like, hey, what's going on? What's the word? Let's make it happen. But I'm also understanding that sometimes you just have to wait. You're not in control.
But it's going to be a fun place to be next year, I would imagine. I'm going to go a little bit long with Sam. Just one or two more questions real quick. Will your old quarterback, Jameis Winston, be starting next year somewhere in the NFL?
Man, I hope so because people don't realize he's the real deal. Like, if you look at – and people are going to say, well, you played with him and this and that. And, you know, my brother made a video talking about how good Jameis is. If you look at some of the throws he was able to make, your jaw will literally drop. And obviously, you look at the interceptions, that's tough. But, I mean, Bruce Arians, like his scheme is set up where you have to take risks. He always says, no risk it, no biscuit. So he picks and chooses and usually handpicks quarterbacks who are going to take risks. And he picks guys who he's like, hey, I'm okay if you throw a couple picks. Next year will be better. And obviously this is different. Tom Brady becomes available. BA is a quarterback guru, whatever you want to call it. He takes Tom Brady. But I hope and I think I just hope Jameis gets a chance to start next year just because I know the kind of leader he is, the kind of person he is, the kind of quarterback he is. It may be difficult because I also know how GMs think. And if I'm a GM, it's going to be hard for me to go and get a guy who just threw 30 interceptions, no matter how great of throws he made. But I'm confident and I'm hoping he's going to get another opportunity soon and very soon.
All right. Sam Acho, free agent, but perhaps soon to be Bucks linebacker again. Brother of Emmanuel Acho, where we started this interview is he talked about Emmanuel and I, who have a relationship now, saying when Emmanuel first saw me, he thought, I think this dude might be kind of racist. And Sam admitting he thought the same thing. I hope I can win you over just like I won your brother.
Man. No, it's been good to be on. And it's funny. I didn't even know I was going to be on with you until about 10 minutes, 5 minutes before the call.
Really?
I didn't. I was going to be ESPN. I didn't know it was going to be you. They said it's going to be the Will Kent show. I said, oh, man, I got to bring my guns out for my brother. So, no, I'll play. No, he respects the heck out of you. He's a huge fan. I'm a fan. Keep up the great work, man.
All right, Sam. Hope to talk again. Thanks, man. Good luck with everything.
All right, you too.
Sam Macho here on The Will Cain Show. Okay, we already said who had the worst lawyer movie of all time. Who has the best? We'll decide that next on The Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
As it has been through this entire experience, I vacillate quickly, multiple times in a day, maybe an hour, between optimism and pessimism. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Early in the show, we played for the sound from President Donald Trump, suggesting we need sports back. These leagues weren't designed to be shut down like this. Our economy, America, wasn't designed to be shut down like this. He's right. Doesn't say it's wrong to do it. We're doing it for public health reasons, but this is a country built on ingenuity, on industriousness, on doing things, on working, on creating something out of nothing. And today we're asked to do nothing. So it's hard to see how we're going to get sports back. Are we going to have football in the fall? President Trump is optimistic. Others, not so much. This afternoon, Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick was on the Paul Feinbaum show. And he talked about the idea of playing football, but without fans. This is what he had to say.
Potentially, I could see it starting that way. You know, maybe you say we're going to play a game or two that way. I don't think you can conduct a season that way. I think spectators are too central to the experience. I don't think it would be fair to our students. You know, and I don't like the idea of our game day stadia just being television studios. They need to be alive with people in attendance. So I do think that's a big question. I think might be able to do a little bit of it, but it can't be the model for a season.
It's Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick. I want you to think about optimism, realism, and pessimism for a moment. Here's optimism. That we somehow get through the summer, we flip a switch, and we can go back to sports as normal in the fall. If that's the case, it's going to be a sports smorgasbord. You're going to have the Masters in November on the same day as professional football, the final day of the Masters on a Sunday, and then the NFL later in that day. You're going to have the third day of the Masters on the same day as college football. Same thing with all the other golf tournaments rescheduled for the fall, plus perhaps an NBA season. I mean, it's possible we're going to have live sporting events every single night. We're going to need a break. It's going to be awesome. And that's optimism. Realism is something like Swarbrick's talking about. Like, we have it. Do we get to have fans in the stands? What if you have some, but it's still under this idea that we can't put a bunch of people next to each other? We can have a lottery for tickets where you sit 10 seats apart, two rows apart. Stadium looks like a checkerboard up there in the stands. Just don't see how you get a stadium full of stands, because then there's the pessimism. How, we talk about regulation, we talk about opening it up, we talk about states, we talk about leagues. What about fans? How many are actually going to choose to go back to life as normal, even if we can? I know I've talked to a lot of buddies. Some said, yeah, I'll be ready when it comes back on TV, but I'm not going to a game. Mike A. works on the show, takes a November football trip every year. He's already said that's almost dead. People will make choices, and they'll make them not just for public health reasons. They'll make them not just because they're worried about getting sick. They'll make them because we are entering, already in, an economic crisis. Who's got the disposable income to be spending money on tickets, parking, concessions? Who's going to be paying for subscriptions, by the way? There's a lot of things, a lot of bridges to cross. A lot of realism that stands in the way of full optimism between now and then. Hope for the optimism. Telling you, realism, maybe even pessimism, are hard to overlook. All right, who nominated the best lawyer movie? We already nominated myself. We voted. I had the worst lawyer movie of the weekend for our homework. That was with The Devil's Advocate. I still contend Al Pacino's speech by itself, one that is only, in my estimation, beat by his speech in A Scent of a Woman, is enough to win the Academy Award and resurrect The Devil's Advocate from its goofy accents and premise. However, I still lost. Who won? That's next on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
The NFL put its all-decade team out from 2010 to 2019. Drew Brees did not make it. He was not one of the two quarterbacks selected. And somehow I feel vindicated. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. I'll get to the NFL's all-decade team. Were there any snubs? Coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. But our homework over the weekend was to watch the movies nominated as the best lawyer movies of all time. I nominated Devil's Advocate. Pat nominated To Kill a Mockingbird. Bubba nominated A Few Good Men. Nuno nominated The Lincoln Lawyer. And Mike A. nominated My Cousin Vinny. This, on the heels of the best heist movies and the best war movies, we now decide the best lawyer movie. I understand we might need to bring Jamal Adams, New York Jets safety, into this conversation going forward because he recently tweeted the best war movie of all time was Lone Survivor. Clearly he wasn't listening when we made it clear Saving Private Ryan won that debate. Today we've also established that I got last place this week. Devil's Advocate, last place among the lawyer movies. More contentiously, Bubba has it on the table as a resolution. We must do something about the Pat situation. He keeps nominating old movies.
We call it the autogram rule.
The autogram. I like George Mikan rule better. I like
whichever player you want to use.
I'm only nominating movies with The Rock in it from now on.
That's a point Nuno made earlier, Bubba.
Hey,
be
Mr.
careful
Defensive
what you wish
here.
For. Would you rather him nominating Where Eagles Dare and To Kill a Mockingbird or Fast Five? I know which way I'd rather him go.
What are you calling about?
Fast Five, right?
No.
I just wanted to pick a normal movie. This isn't that hard. I don't get it.
Didn't you come in last week? Didn't you pick the worst?
His last two movies
movie?
Are not that bad. I'm
you
not
picked the worst movie last week. Okay. Oh yeah, okay, great. Thanks.
See, he's so defensive. I'm not even telling him his movies are bad.
Are we going to update
this? I'm trying to help him here.
But are we going to update the sensitivity rankings
yeah,
on the show?
He's way up there.
Cuz Pat's flying up the rankings.
Well, we have to distinguish between sensitivity and defensiveness. The funny thing is, Bubba has been generally considered the most defensive, but Pat is really gunning for his title. And so you got the two most defensive dudes going at each other here on the show.
Unbelievable. I mean, he's a child. It's ridiculous.
I do believe that if any caller who calls to defend you, I mean, he was over 60. So, like, that lets you know where Pat's demographic is when it comes to these movies.
I mean, his movie nominations are a real wild card every weekend. I do see Bubba's point. I mean, Pat's movie is one I always have to watch because I haven't seen it.
Well, and Bubba hasn't gotten to the crust. Crust?
Whoa.
Crust.
Yeah, there you go.
That went to the books. That's
exactly.
Another good one.
Of his issue. He had to pay $14 to watch some movie.
That is true.
That is why there's really got Bubba going on.
I did pay for it.
Financial times are hard, and he paid $14 for this movie.
Again, I didn't even say it was that bad. I'm just saying for the good of the show here, Pat's got to see what's going on and stop picking these movies from 50 years ago.
Nuno, what was your one at the Super Bowl when you said, what was that one, Bubba?
Hobsnobbin.
Hobsnobbin. And now it's the crust of the issue. Let's get to the crust of the issue. Oh, that might be better than Hobsnobbin.
Okay, what's the best lawyer movie? Who nominated the best lawyer movie over the weekend? Let's start with Mike A. Mike A,
you
who
know,
do you vote
were
for?
Hofstadman, is that what it was?
Well, what I want to say first off is when we nominated, I thought Lincoln Lawyer was going to be last because I had seen it once. I remember not being too impressed with it. It flew up draft boards after I watched it again.
Right,
that being
pretty
said,
good.
It's still finished in third. I put A Few Good Men at two, and I'll take My Cousin Vinny for the victory.
Voting for himself. Okay. Suspect. No one is. No one yet has exhibited the objectivity I have, where I voted for my movie last.
You're the only one who's nominated the worst movie.
No. You vote what as your number one lawyer movie over the weekend?
See, this is tough, right? Because My Cousin Vinny is probably the best rewatchable movie out of all of them, where if it's on, you're watching it. I would go with, and I don't want to be objective, so.
What?
You do what? Or don't want to be?
No, I don't, because, like, I would say,
what
like,
do you mean
the
you don't
Lincoln,
want...
like, the Lincoln Lawyer had everything.
What is happening here?
I don't know. Like, I'm just going to vote for myself, the Lincoln Lawyer.
What is going on here? Where's Jamal Adams?
Let's replace some people with Jamal Adams here on this movie.
I don't want to be objective. What is happening here?
Okay, Pat, go ahead. Vote for yourself too, Pat. Make it 3-3.
You know, I was considering it, but it's A Few Good Men, and it's A Few Good Men by like a pretty significant margin.
All right, quick question on A Few Good Men, real quick. Was it an okay movie with an absolutely fantastic ending? Or was it a really great movie all throughout?
But while we're on it, better speech, Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men or Al Pacino in Devil's Advocate?
Devil's Advocate
yes.
was bad. Move on.
I'm going to actually say that's a close call. That Devil's Advocate speech from Al Pacino is just an all-timer. Okay, so don't just start giving it to Jack because of that one speech. All right, Bubba, go ahead. Vote for yourself.
Well, to first go with Mike's point originally, I had seen Lincoln Lawyer years ago and didn't really remember much of it, but I agree with him. That was a solid film.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, I was impressed with
it. I did not have that on my board, and that was good. But originally on my draft board going in, I had My Cousin Vinny number two and A Few Good Men number one, and I think it still stays number one. That's the best one. And to Mike's last question, I think it's a solid movie with a great scene at the end. I think anytime it's on, I think you can pop in at any point. There are great parts, solid parts throughout, but the ending is great.
A little bit like Devil's Advocate.
No, not like Devil's Advocate. Yeah.
Your movie with the false ending, like To Kill a Mockingbird, was that about the trial or was it about Boo Radley? I mean, I don't get it. Like, which one is the storyline I'm supposed to be following here?
It was about filming the book.
You can't follow two storylines at once?
Go back to Fast Five.
Maybe I will, and I'll enjoy it the whole time.
I'll vote now. The best lawyer movie among the ones we nominated, I agree, is A Few Good Men. I'm a sucker for a good speech, it turns out. In fact, I want to go back and watch A Scent of a Woman now. Just watch Al Pacino's speech in that one, too.
My biological clock is ticking like this? Come on, give me that one then for best speech.
That's a good one. That was a good one. All right, so Bubba with a win. Bubba, Pat, and I all have an L, a last place on our books. Yeah. And Mike A., Bubba, and I have a win on our
you
me and
have
Bubba
debatably
have
a,
me and
a
Bubba
win.
Have a win. Me and Bubba
I don't
have a
know
win.
What y'all are talking about.
Debatably, you have a win.
I most certainly do. Yeah. I have to start respecting my authority.
You went to the director's grandson in Texas who gave you the win.
The only guy here who's ever voted his own movie last. I mean,
that's not a good thing in your favor. That means you have awful taste.
All right,
yeah,
we'll
you have awful taste.
Somebody call Jamal Adams. Let's figure out what our category is going to be this coming weekend, and we'll figure out the Pat situation before this weekend. We got to figure that out. I'm with Bubba. We're gonna be watching Grapes of Wrath before you know it, and I'm just not
it's a great
not
movie.
Ready. Oh,
Pat, you've become a situation.
George Mikan. You all got to do Mikan drills this weekend.
All right. Speaking of greats, all-time great, the NFL put out its all-decade team. Drew Brees didn't make it, and they were right. It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
The NFL All-Decade Team is out, and Drew Brees isn't on it. Everybody yelled at me a few months ago, but I'm vindicated. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are your All-Decade quarterbacks. Drew Brees just missed the cut. I looked through it and looked for snubs, but the truth of the matter is, the most remarkable thing about this All-Decade Team from 2010 to 2019 is it's pretty unremarkable. No big snubs that I can tell. Jason Witten didn't make it. He fell behind Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. You could argue that Witten had a better run, longer, more sustainable, maybe less spectacular over a few seasons run. Maybe Witten belongs on that all-decade team. But I said a few months ago Drew Brees is a second-tier all-time quarterback. I think this shows exactly what I'm talking about. At no point was he the best quarterback in any given period of time in the NFL. He's great. A second team, all-time great, second tier, all-time great, meaning like, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 12 best quarterbacks of all time, but not where Brady is, and over the last decade, not where Rodgers got, and I'm not the only one that thinks so. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN's football analyst, was on the Will Cain Show earlier.
You can make the case for Brees to be on there. I wish they would have put him in as a running back or something, strictly so his name is on there, but to take 12 off, 12 being Aaron Rodgers, 12 would be difficult. That being said, you know, statistically, I would imagine that Drew Brees is better over the course of time. I think that Aaron Rodgers probably has a more impressive singular season. They both have their Super Bowl championship. I think that whatever side of the fence you want to stand on with this, I can't sit here and make a strong claim argument-wise that that person is wrong.
Except that once I told Orlovsky that Brees' Super Bowl came in the decade previous and Rodgers came in this current decade, 10 to 19, that we're debating, Rodgers definitely gets the win. If you didn't know, we just got a new Nuno-ism. You know, we got the famous one about Hobbs snobbing around with fancy people. Now we realize it's the crust of the issue all this time. Thought it was the crux. Bubba, what do we have?
Well, and Bubba hasn't gotten to the crust. The crust? Crust?
Whoa!
The
crust. Crust.
Let it now be said forevermore, it is the crust of the issue. Nuno said he blamed this on coronavirus. He had coronavirus head and all this pandemic quarantine. He's got him talking funny. But the truth is, you've always been like this, Nuno. Always. And Bubba has the proof.
Go ahead, Bubba. Let's do this.
Well, we have this one. You know, this one maybe was right on the teetering on the edge of corona. So this maybe is right when he was getting it here.
2011.
He snuck that one in early March last month.
2011. Oh, we got to do a top five Nuno-isms. That's what we got to do.
But one of the all-time greats is obviously February of 2019.
I picture Ed Norton, American X. I was so proud of myself, too. It was waiting to land it, and that's what happened.
What was that movie review, Ed Norton? Yes.
It was the way you were dressed that day. You looked like Ed Norton.
Yeah, he was trying to call you out and say you looked like, you know, Ed Norton dressed as, you know, the guy from American History X, and just didn't really come out that way. We also, not really him misspeaking, just him getting really excited. A new entrant from, I believe, last week.
Yes!
Yes!
I don't even remember what that was over.
That was our boy Woody when he was talking about what he's been up to, including watching a lot of...
Woody just like mentioned the said he watches CSI or something.
No, he was talking about how he's catching up on the Chicago series.
Yes!
And like, yes! Yeah, like he's, you know...
Oh, that's good stuff.
There are other languages.
There's that je ne sais quoi.
I don't know.
Crusted. I was Jesus.
What? When was that?
I was Jesus. You were questioning my acting skills, and I was trying to tell you guys that back in the fourth grade play in at Sacred Heart St. Anthony's in Bridgeport, I was Jesus in the play. I was Jesus. 2011.
I don't know. I think crust of the issue might be my new favorite.
Well, and Bubba hasn't gotten to the crust. The crust? Crust?
Whoa.
The
crust.
Oh, DJ in L.A. What do we miss on the lawyer movies, DJ?
Jagged Edge.
Jagged Edge.
Glenn Close agrees to defend Jeff Bridges. He's accused of butchering his wife for her family's money. She gets him off, convinces the jury of his innocence. She's up against Peter Coyote, the prosecutor. And in the end, we find out he did do it because of a TIE fighter.
Because of a TIE fighter?
Spoiler alert, jeez.
He did it because of TIE fighter from Star Wars?
By the way, best heist movie ever, L.A. Confidential. It's the theft of 20 keys of Mickey Cohen's heroin that triggers all the events, including the ending shootout scene at the Victory Motel, correct?
Oh, DJ's out here throwing spoilers around left and right. Michael from Florida, you're here to tell me the Devil's Advocate speech was the best speech ever? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm talking about the best movie. I'm older than you. I'm 60, but I remember my girlfriend in the 70s used to take me to movies, and she took me to, it's called And Justice for All, and it's Al Pacino, another Al Pacino movie. That was excellent.
I think Al Pacino's great. I'm a big Pacino fan. I love his over-the-top speeches. I love them. We just were talking about it. Thanks for the call, Michael. We were talking about best – maybe we should do like a midweek best movie speeches of all time, because I'm entering Devil's Advocate Al Pacino into it, along with Scent of a Woman, along with Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. Like, best speeches. We need to get on that one, fellas. Pat, try to keep it, you know, a movie reference – post-1970, if you can. That would be really nice.
He left the room.
Yeah, of course he did. Have you noticed that our callers, who, like Michael just mentioned, he's 60, they nominate movies more recent vintage than Pat does?
It's a real problem. I mean, I'm trying to help the show out here and trying to do it for you guys and the show.
Yep, we got a problem. We got to figure out the Pat situation. All right, that's it for the NFL's All-Decade Team. I was just trying to decide if I wanted to play that piece of sound. Yeah, play that one, Bubba. Play that one piece of sound.
I don't know what you're talking about.
play the one for me. Play that one for me.
No.
Is not time? Okay. All right.
This is a rough one.
Sometimes you come up 45 seconds short on your content.
What is going on here?
Where have you been, producer?
I've been trying to make some cuts here to send out to show how great of a job we've done today.
You
got
to get the
show
across the finish line.
What have we done today?
It came up 45 seconds short, Nuno. And that's where you're supposed to come in.
Yeah, take that, Louise. Bubba just drops the magic. Hit it.
It's Will Cain, Johnny, ESPN Radio.
You're still like, two seconds, one. Boom.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.